Good afternoon, brethren. It's so good to see so many of you here on this Northwest weekend. I'd like to welcome all of our special guests. It's so nice to have an opportunity where we can get together with the Northwest and to fellowship and just enjoy one another's company. So I welcome you to this weekend ahead, and we look forward to sharing our lives with you. Since it is a Northwest weekend today, on the Sabbath, I wanted to focus my message on to the youth of the church, but I hope that my message is a message that can help youth from ages 5 to 105. My question this afternoon is, how real is God to you? I believe in a certain sense I already know the answer to the question for the young people of God's church, and that answer is very real. I must share with you that I've been very impressed, truly impressed with the youth in the church today. I've had the opportunity to work and teach many of them at this church summer camps the past several years. And this past summer in particular, I was truly moved by a panel of young people who shared their stories with the staff and the campers at the camp. And at that, during that Bible study, during that panel, they shared with us the many sacrifices that they had made as teens. I remember in particularly one young man who had given up the opportunity to compete in a national academic competition after the team he was on had won the California State Championship and were going on to nationals. And because just a very small part of that competition, I believe if I remember right, that his teammates said, "But it's only 10 minutes. A majority of that competition was not on the Sabbath. But because part of it was, he said, "No, I'm sorry, I can't go." There was others on the panel that had given up the opportunities to win state championships because they fell on the Sabbath. And each of these young people realized that they had made sacrifices, yet they were determined to keep God's Sabbath. And what was so inspiring to me was each one of them knew, because they'd kept God's law, that they had been blessed for it. So this afternoon, I'd like to share with you just two stories of things that happened to me as a youth growing up in God's church. Not in my teenagehood, but actually even before that time when I was a much younger boy. So let's begin today. Let's turn to Proverbs, the 15th chapter, and see what David writes, what Solomon writes, not David, in chapter 15 of Proverbs, in verse 3, it says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." This particular verse is the first verse that I ever learned. Not that I memorized it, not that I heard it, but it is the first verse that I lived in principle. Because when I was a young boy of 5, I can clearly remember being in the backyard one afternoon, and I had just entered school, and it was a time in my life in which I was very curious. I was asking a lot of questions. I remember asking my mom, my dad was not in the church at the time, and I asked my mom, "Well, you know, what is God like?" And I remember her telling me, she said, "Well, he's so powerful. He's the most powerful being in the universe. He's created everything. And not only has he created everything, but he's everywhere." And as a 5-year-old, I didn't have perfect understanding of what this meant, but my interpretation of God was he was a God with a very powerful camera. And that camera followed each one of us in our lives, and he was always taking pictures that he filed and was a part of our permanent record. Now, many of you may have heard the phrase, the fear of God. I can tell you that my mom telling me about God being everywhere and then me interpreting as God had this camera, that truly put the fear in me. Because I knew every time that I did something wrong, God was going to be there taking a Kodak picture of me doing exactly what was wrong. Well, that particular principle, even though it wasn't exactly right, served me well, because when I was a young boy, and when I was thinking about straying off the path and not doing exactly what I should be doing, and I remembered that God's got his camera behind me at all times, many times I chose to do the right thing. And young people today, I, I know that so many times when we think about doing something wrong, I think many times our first thought is, well, I hope mom and dad don't see me. I hope they don't find out about this. But more importantly, we need to remember that our Father in heaven is everywhere, and he sees our every action, and he knows our every thought. But what I want to share with you is not that God has a camera, but when I viewed God as the Kodak picture man, there was a much more important part of the picture that I was missing. Because God is not everywhere just because he wants to catch us doing something wrong. Let me read Proverbs 15:3 again. It says, "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good." See, the good was the part that I was missing. And God is not everywhere so he can be the policeman catching us doing something wrong. He is everywhere because he wants to be a part of our lives. He wants us to invite him to be a part of our lives. He wants to help us. He wants to encourage us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to talk with us. And he wants to do that on a daily basis. He doesn't want us to always, you know, call up when we're having difficulty or problems. Yes, he wants to be there when we're having problems. He will always be there, but he wants to be there in the good times as well. You know, he's there to help us if we're having difficulty in school and are having difficulty in a specific subject. We may be having difficulty at school with friends who are challenging us on our beliefs. We may even be having difficulty making the right decisions. We may know what we're supposed to be doing, but you know there's a pull that is pulling us away from that. And God is there to help us in all of those. Let's turn, if you will, to Matthew 7, and we'll read verses 7 through 11. We just sang this, a song that talked exactly about this. I thought it was quite fitting. Because no matter what is happening in our lives, God is there for us. And that's whether we're a young person of 5, 15, 45, God is there for us. And he tells us that in Matthew 7. Starting in verse 7, it says, "Ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive, and he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if the son asks for bread, will give him a stone?" In verse 10, "Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent?" In verse 11, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" God is there to help us. God is here to bless us. So my first point that I wanted to share with you this afternoon is God truly is everywhere. And he is everywhere because he wants to be a part of our lives. He wants to walk with us, talk with us. We simply need to send an invitation to him on a daily basis. The second point I wanted to share with the young people of today is that God's laws and his holy word are not relevant just to our parents, not just to the ministry, but they're relevant to everyone. Again, it doesn't matter if we're 8, 18, or 88. If you are old enough to understand what God's laws or principles are, then they apply to you. God's laws work much like gravity. They always work. Have you ever tried to stop gravity from working? If you're ever successful, let me know, because it won't happen. And God's laws are much the same way. Whether we're aware of gravity or not, gravity works. Whether we're aware of God's laws or not aware of God's laws, they still work. I'd like to share again with you another story that happened to me just 3 years later. It was the spring of 69. As I was writing the sermonette, I said, "Oh, yeah, that was just 25 years ago. And then as a math teacher, I said, "No, wait a minute, that wasn't 25 years ago, that was 35 years ago." Yet, I can look back and remember this incident so clearly. It's amazing how certain events in your life can really have a meaning and impact on you. And it was at this very time of year, it was during the days of unleavened bread, And on this particular morning before going to church, I was preparing my offering. And as a young boy of 8, I was pretty normal, I think. And there was a lot of things that I wanted. I had a lot of needs as a young boy of 8. And I remember as a young boy of 8, I needed a new toy dump truck and I needed a baseball glove. And there was just a lot of things that I really needed. And as a young boy of 8, I had quite an elaborate saving system. You see, I had these baby food jars. And with these baby food jars, any time a new need came into my life, I took a label and I put it on the outside of that baby food jar, and it would say baseball glove, dump truck, or whatever was really important at that time. And at the same time, I did have one jar off the side, and that was my offering jar, and I would keep money in that for when it came to the holy days. Now, on that particular morning when I went to my offering jar, I was a little disappointed because when I looked inside, there wasn't very much in it. I don't remember how much exactly, but I can assure you it was less than 20 cents. Because all of my other needs were much more important at that time, and so all of my money had been going for the other things like the baseball glove. If you will, if you'll turn to the book before Matthew, Malachi chapter 3. Because what was happening in my life at that time is my needs, what was important to me, was filling my life up as an 8-year-old. And I wasn't thinking about God and an appropriate offering. Now, I didn't know about Malachi 3, verses 8 through 10 at the time. It was there. Believe me, in the spring of 69, it still was here in the Bible. But as a young man, I wasn't aware of it. But it says in verse 8 of Malachi 3, "Will a man rob God, yet you have robbed me? But you say, in what ways have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation," referring to Israel. But again, these verses relate directly to you and I today. In verse 10, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that you may be food in my house." And notice what it says here, "And prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there is not enough room for you to receive it." You see, as a young boy of 8, I wasn't trying to rob God. I didn't understand I was robbing God. But when this incident happened, and I later, when reading this verse and understanding it for the first time, understood what happened. I didn't know about the scripture, but it still was true in my life. Fortunately, in my own way, I had enough sense to try God, because what I did that morning was I went into the other jars and I took some money out and added that to my offering, and I put that in my offering envelope. And then again, before we actually left for services, I once again went back to my other jars and took some money out. And you know what? God's way worked. Because when I got home that day, I had not been home from services. It was, late afternoon. I was not home more than 5 minutes. And there was a man next door. His name was Bill Wright. He was a good friend of mine. He was always real friendly to me, and he would talk to me. And he came over and he said, "Keith, do you play baseball? Could you use a baseball glove?" And I don't know what my face was like exactly. I could just see my mouth probably opening up and falling on the floor and my teeth falling out. Because even though I had all those needs, the thing that I knew that I wanted the most at that time was a baseball glove. And he said, "I just received this baseball glove and it's too small and I can't use it. If you'd like it, that would be great." It was an absolutely stunning baseball glove, far better than anything I could ever have purchased. And so in the following summers, every time that I went out to play baseball, I was always reminded. Sorry. It was, let me just say, it was very moving, because for me, even though that I had not been saving the money properly, even though I didn't have an appropriate offering, God knew in my heart that I wanted to do right, and He blessed me for that. And I've never forgotten that, even 35 years later. So as a young man of 8, I learned that the Scriptures work even when I didn't understand them. God's ways work. They apply to everyone. Again, I ask you, how real is God? God is very real. He is everywhere. Walk with Him. Talk with Him. Ask Him. Seek Him. And prove Him. The more you as young people, and I'm not speaking to just our teens, but to everyone, the more we seek Him, the more we walk with Him, the more we prove Him, the more real He will become to us each day.